Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues the industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome back to Chip Chat Live from the Intel Developer Forum. We're on day two of IDF in San Francisco, and we're back with Chris Evans. Welcome, Chris.
Good morning.
Now, you are a consultant in the storage space, founder of LinkedIn Blue, and write a blog on thestoragearchitect.com.
That's right, yeah. LinkedIn Blue is a consultancy company. We work basically solving infrastructure problems for people. A lot of storage, but not necessarily. And the blog is something I've done for about probably four or five years.
So 4 or 5 years of history on blogging about storage. Mm. What were you writing about 5 years ago?
Oh, I guess 5 years ago, I probably wrote more about the issues that revolve around just managing equipment technology.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably a lot more data center focused in terms of a storage admin's role. But things have evolved since then. So now I talk a lot more about virtualization. And I think some of the challenges of things as we've moved forward have become a lot different. We've obviously got the scale of data now to deal with. We're seeing a lot more unstructured data. But we're seeing a lot of structured data that's a different format. You know, we've all got devices that talk to Facebook and all sorts of other things. So, of course, cloud's now become a really important thing. And understanding that's a big picture.
It seems like, and before we go further, I've got all sorts of questions to ask you, but okay. I need to remind the audience that this is a live recording, and if you have questions for Chris, please send them to our chat window at Blog Talk Radio or at Intel Chip Chat on Twitter, and we will get to them after the break. So you talk about 5 years ago management of... Apparently, they're after us, Chris.
Yeah, well, that just proves it's live, doesn't it?
Exactly. You talk about management of storage IT systems. And now it looks like there's almost a shift to thinking about it as management of data rather than management of systems and how we are able to mindfully architect solutions that are going to scale to address the ever-growing data in data centers today.
Yeah, so let's just look at that from one angle. I would say 5 or 6 years ago, we didn't have anywhere near the scale of virtualization that we have today. So the storage guys were pretty much in isolation. They were there about delivering infrastructure on the floor that was mapped to servers and presented out. They didn't really get involved in that day-to-day detail of dealing with data, like you've just mentioned. I think virtualization has changed that, and obviously we've seen a massive increase in scale. So now they have to understand a lot more than they ever did. If you look at things like scale-out NAS, where you're talking about a totally different platform that's come in to manage different types of data, there's a need to be much more aware of that data content now than there ever has been.
And it seems like data structures are changing in terms of the speed in which data needs to be accessed and the types of ways that we're storing data as, you know, web scale applications start coming on the architecture of storage systems in the data center start changing.
Yeah, so we're seeing a lot more object store devices. We've seen, obviously, you've got one on the floor that we've seen this week, which is interesting. But, you know, even a few years ago, we were seeing products from people like EMC who were bringing out Atmos, which is to do a very different way of storing data. And we've seen a lot more object-based platforms come out. IBM have got their scale-out NAS products. And it is changing the way that people are looking at the way that they store their data, definitely.
So about last 3 or 4 months, you've seen this new term emerge across the industry, big data.
Yeah.
What does big data make you think?
I don't really think that that's something that's new to people. I think we've always, in one way or another, had to deal with data. It could be looked at and said that that might be a bit of a marketing term that some vendors mm-hmm. are using. But, we've always had to deal with large volumes of data. I just think it's got bigger and bigger. What we're dealing with potentially is different types of data in the way that we didn't deal with before. And if you look at the sort of data that's out there, we can do a lot more clever mining of data than we ever used to, and we can get more content out of it. And it's how do we manage that and how do we achieve that with the technology that's out there today.
You tweeted yesterday that SSDs are the future. SSDs are a wonderful way of accelerating storage on any type of device. But what do you think this represents from a macro perspective for the storage industry?
So I'm sure Intel are really happy that people think SSDs are the future and hard drives are going away. I don't think hard drives will go away completely, but I think SSD will become the primary platform, and it'll work across a number of different areas. So from the personal perspective, all of the devices we use today, we've already started to move to solid state. We're already putting in solid state devices into our laptops. Some of them don't even have solid state devices as such. It's just memory. It's just flash. And as far as the enterprise is concerned, solid state is the move towards where our primary data will be stored, because obviously it just gives us a much higher performance ratio than we had with hard drives. So I think on a number of different levels, we'll see the benefits of being able to access our data faster. The issue, of course, is we've still got growth. We've still got huge growth. How do we deal with that growth? We can't put SSDs across everything.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps we'll see a mixture of SSD being used for high-performance stuff, where we need to get good, fast responses. We'll see a lot of tiering, and maybe we'll see hard drives come in as that second tier. So where we maybe thought tape was a way of archiving, well, perhaps we'll see the hard drive become the archive.
So that might be batch jobs, recovery, that type of thing.
Yeah, so you've got a working set sitting on solid state, and you've got everything else you're not using moved off to disk.
That's a whole brave new world of storage.
It absolutely is. Yeah, it's a big change. But there are a huge, and I'm going to go and see some of them this week. There are a number of vendors bringing out solid state arrays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can pick half a dozen manufacturers that are already out. A lot of them are startups, but they're bringing out solid state arrays. And the main vendors are already bringing out arrays that are all solid state. So people clearly see that as the way forward.
Do you see a change in terms of architectures of storage solutions towards more of a industry standard model, or are you seeing more proprietary camps rise up within the storage arena?
So that's a good question. And so somebody, I can't remember who mentioned it yesterday, said Intel have 70% of the storage array market.
I think our microprocessors are in 70%
exactly,
of storage,
yeah.
Yes.
Now, I actually went away and tried to think about that and thought, yeah, definitely it's true. You know, we've moved to an architecture where that has become the dominant platform. And I think I could only think of one platform from IBM that doesn't do that. That's still using RISC. But everywhere else, there's been a shift towards using the Xeon processor for storage. So to a certain degree, there's become some standardization there in terms of the technology. But we're seeing different types of platforms being developed by individual companies. So we are seeing differences, but there's a lot of standardization on that processor platform and potentially the I/O layer in between, and now obviously the disk. There's sort of three levels, really.
We had an EMC on the program yesterday, and they were talking about the blurred lines between data center infrastructure, between server and storage, and the need to sometimes bring servers closer to storage, sometimes bring storage closer to server. Do you think that we'll see a world where we'll just have compute and storage arrays that are working in tandem, and there won't be this concept of a IT department that manages storage and manages compute?
So I know what EMC are talking about, and I think to a certain degree they're right. There are times when you want to have the storage close to the compute, you know, especially in a virtualized environment, and that's definitely a great advantage. And all the different vendors are already doing something similar. So HP have a storage solution where you can put a blade of storage into the blade server itself. And I think EMC are looking or alluding to the idea of putting the hypervisor into their VNX or VMAX products. I guess that's what they're looking at. I don't have any inside knowledge to say whether that's true or not. I think it's definitely the case that that's an attractive model. And I can see a situation where we don't have a traditional storage array like we used to have, where you'd have a separate team that looked after that storage and that's all they did. I think there's definitely going to become a blurring of that. And as we move forward, as long as we can ensure that we can replicate that data and we can back it up successfully and still make it available, well, why wouldn't we want to have just infrastructure that we just plug in chunks and use as we need?
I suppose it's not good. If you don't like change, you shouldn't be working in IT right now.
Absolutely. I don't think if you aren't change, you should ever have been working in IT, because there's always something new coming along. And that's what keeps it so exciting.
So let's go to the next topic, which is cloud. You know, obviously, cloud is a macro change in the way we deliver computing capabilities to devices in terms of service delivery. Reuven Cohen was on the program yesterday, and he said, you know, cloud may be just a metaphor for the evolution of the internet. That would be one definition. Mm-hmm. Others have other definitions, but what impact does the cloud have on storage?
Well, clearly there are ways in which storage is being offered within the cloud. Mm-hmm. And I think people have approached it from probably the easiest thing to do, which is things like backup. Because the first thing you have to consider is latency. So for storage, latency becomes an issue. And you just talked about the idea of having compute next to storage. If you're doing something where you wanted to access storage remotely, you're not going to be able to do that in any performance type way. So backup was a great one where people used that as a first stepping stone. And those sort of solutions are great. Backup all your data to a place where it's all maintained for you. Going forward, I think as we want to push compute into the cloud and do compute there exclusively, I think what we need to see from a storage perspective is a lot more quality of service. Mm-hmm. If you look at the way that cloud is sold today, especially on platforms like Amazon, you can buy a certain amount of memory, you can buy a number of CPUs, but you don't have any concept of the I/O profile that you're being given when you actually take that service. And it's going to be very interesting to see how the vendors differentiate themselves when they try and offer storage-related performance guarantees and SLAs. And I'm really looking forward to seeing who's going to tackle that one first.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to an Intel colleague about a customer who recently said that shipping large data via FedEx sometimes is easier than transferring it over the internet and more affordable. So does the bottleneck for where we go with storage architectures and where storage resides really about a networking challenge?
So somebody said to me yesterday that the way to get their virtual machine into the cloud would be to use BTTP protocol, mm-hmm. which was the brown truck transfer protocol. Mm-hmm. And to a certain degree, you can see the point. You know, if you've got a large virtual machine and you need to move it to the cloud, the network's going to be potentially a big issue. But then perhaps people could be clever around that. You know, if you're moving up a virtual machine that's a pretty standard footprint and looks like a Windows device or a Linux device, your WAN acceleration technology should be able to identify blocks of data in there that are very common, and it should be able to accelerate the upload of those, and that what's left is just data changes. Or you ship the data rather than necessarily the whole virtual machine. So I think the network could be an issue, but there are definitely ways to get around that, and I think I'd hope that people are working on those sort of creative ideas.
When you look at the cloud, you also look at the big web scale players and the deliverer of social media and social streams to users. How do they approach storage and data analysis differently than a traditional enterprise or, you know, our monolithic model of a storage array that you query and access when you need to?
So some of the ways that things are being done in those sort of areas are very interesting. So I've been to a large server manufacturer who was shipping technology to...
Who shall be unnamed.
I'll not name. Who was shipping technology to a social media player. And they were shipping large numbers of servers and disk. So they were shipping not arrays, but server and disk. And that was their model. So clearly they were building something very bespoke on that platform. And I think we're seeing a lot more of that sort of thing, bespoke development of individual platforms rather than storage arrays.
Do you think that will transcend into the enterprise?
I think to a certain degree it probably already has. I know of technologies where that's happened already, where people have put in JBODs as part of an overall solution, especially for things like VDI.
Okay, Chris, we'll be back with more on that topic in a few seconds. If you do have questions, send them off and we'll get them on the air.
We'll be right back with more of Allison's interview. Have a question? Visit us at twitter.com/IntelChipChat. We'll be answering questions live next.
And we're back live from Intel Developer Forum. This is Chip Chat, and I've got Chris Evans with me. Chris, you were just talking about the transition from web scale application storage to the enterprise, and you brought up VDI. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about how you view the evolution of virtualization in device space?
Okay, so the reason I mentioned VDI as an example, especially relating to storage, is because if you look at a lot of the VDI deployments that come today, they're all about trying to deliver IOPS to that VDI platform. Mm-hmm. So people tend to put in big, expensive infrastructures. But there are technologies that are out there today that are being clever about the I/O, and it means that you don't necessarily have to put in big, expensive disk infrastructures. So you can deliver that sort of level of IOPS with JBODs, with just standard disks. And I think people are looking at some of the issues around delivering I/O and storage to certain platforms and coming up with something that's much more creative, that means that you're not just fixing the problem by sheer power. And I think that's essential, because we're never going to scale if we try and do that. We just can't put data centers of containing thousands and thousands of really expensive, power-hungry storage arrays. We have to be more clever about it.
You know, what's interesting is through the conversations this week, you know, we've gone through this massive consolidation, both at the server level and at the storage level, at the data center level, over the last few years, and looking at efficiencies. While you were talking, it just kind of created a thought that, do you think that we're at risk of going back to a model of sprawl with some of these emerging uses?
That's a great question, and I think that's definitely a potential, yes, absolutely. So obviously, looking at my perspective, the storage side of things, we consolidated because we needed to be able to scale where we couldn't do, say, multiple connectivity to a server. We wanted to reduce the cost. We wanted to simplify the management. So, of course, we consolidated into storage area networks. Mm-hmm. Well, as things have evolved and virtualization's come along and we've consolidated the server platform, it doesn't necessarily suit to have consolidated storage anymore. It's not as much of a requirement. So we're definitely seeing a move away from that, and a situation where in some infrastructures it's better just to deploy the storage with the server that's running the virtualization layer. And I think we'll see more of that. And that, I'm sure there's a lot of storage admins out there who are probably panicking and thinking that their job's going to go away. I don't think it will. I think it will change. And I think they have to be more aware of things, but it's definitely going to change. And we're not going to see centralized stuff. We are definitely going to see sprawl.
You know, it's funny because you've already panicked the disk drive folks, the tape folks. Now you're panicking the storage admins. We did have a question come in from the audience, and we'll go to that now, even though it takes us a little bit off that topic. We'll come back to it. SSDs. You talk about them as the future.
Yes.
How quickly will that future emerge? And is this a model of technology or of economics?
I think it's more a model of economics, definitely. If you look back at the predictions of when the first array was, the first enterprise array was given solid state, and that was EMC about 2 or 3 years ago, EMC had fantastic predictions of how SSDs would suddenly become ubiquitous, we'd have them everywhere, and that hasn't evolved, because clearly there are a number of issues that were related to that. First of all, technology-wise, because they were so expensive and because of the way that arrays worked, you ended up having to put whole swathes of data onto SSD, and it was a lot of stuff you may not have wanted to put on there.
Mm-hmm.
the technology didn't really exist to allow you to say the individual blocks that were hot in a learn or whatever you're working with, just to put those on the SSD. But we've seen that be fixed. So the vendors have come along with solutions that have got around that. So from a technology perspective, it isn't as much of an issue. So I think we've got more of an economic perspective, and hopefully prices will continue to drop, capacities will continue to grow, and very quickly I think we'll see the uptake. But I would suggest that in 2 or 3 years we'll see... Let's make a prediction and see what happens. In 2 or 3 years, maybe 50% of our data would sit on solid state.
Interesting. So for those out there who are waiting for SSDs to come down in price, there is a lot of hope for you to move to an SSD drive in your laptop or your computing device.
And there's a very good point. You know, there's a lot of people, I think, who are early adopters are moving towards that. But you can buy PCs very easily with solid state in them now. So that there's going to, I think we'll see a big ramp up of that, and hopefully that will help to reduce the costs.
In all of these conversations, there is this thread of manageability.
Yes.
And management of data. You know, we talked about it from the drive perspective. We also talked about it from a standpoint of SAN versus direct attached storage, or, you know, even in-memory storage, cloud. How do we know where our data is in a few years, and what are the storage vendors doing to... maybe structure management a little bit differently so that data is known and is safe?
That is going to be a real challenge. So I'll take you back to when I first started in IT, which was a long, long time ago. But even in 1995, I worked in a job where I only managed 300 gigabytes of data, which today you think that's a hard drive, but that's mm-hmm. all we had. And you knew where every individual file was. And you could go down and you could look at it and say, yep, I know who that belongs to. I'll go and see if they really want that. Because it was very expensive, you were very concerned with managing it. Obviously, we've got to a stage where that's become really difficult. And I don't really think we've got the tools yet to allow us to do that properly. So we see a massive amount of data being created, but we don't see easy ways to work out how to destroy data that we think we haven't got a need for. So we keep it forever. So I think there is still an awful long way to go with tools, and we need to see some better tools coming out from people to allow us to do that properly.
Do you think the standards organizations have a role here?
I think potentially they do. I'm probably quite negative towards some of those organizations, simply because a lot of them are industry-based, and therefore they don't necessarily have customer representation on there. And I think they should have more of that. But I think they definitely have a place to play. We should see them attacking not necessarily the infrastructure and the technology side, but that data management side a lot more.
You know, I think that as we look at a cloud environment and we look at not really knowing where your workload is running potentially, or not knowing where your data is residing, it really begs the question of the types of security protocols and regulations that are in place, and how the cloud providers will respond to that. You did mention that the customer voice is not in some of these conversations. Have you looked at what the Open Data Center Alliance has been publishing in this space?
No, I haven't. So that's something I need to do some work on.
I think that they've put out some claims of, you know, security monitoring of and trusted a concept of trusted computing, where data is being able to be monitored at any time, regardless of where it is in the world. I think it brings up some good questions for the storage industry, as well as the server industry, about how that type of technology can be
Absolutely.
Delivered.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot of ground. One last question. As you look out in the next few years, you know, let's say that you're writing blogs 3 years from now.
Yeah, let's hope so.
What do you think the topics of the day are going to be? And what are you hoping that you're not writing about anymore?
So that's a really tricky question to try and guess what we're going to have in the future. I guess I'd like to be thinking that we're writing more about how we're managing our workloads without necessarily having to continually refer back to what the infrastructure is it sits on. I'd like to think that in, say, 3 years' time, we've got to a level of maturity where we can just plug in hardware into the infrastructure and take it away and that somebody's just doing that hardware maintenance thing, and everything else we've got is sitting on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see a lot more virtualization of the storage devices and storage arrays so that I don't have to worry about what physical technology it sits in. So I think we'll be talking about things much more virtual than we do today. I think cloud will have a big impact on that. And I'd like to not have to worry too much about what the technology is that it's, that's underlying it, but just to know that it just works and it delivers to it.
And what topic, if you were writing about it 3 years from now, would you be banging your head against the wall about?
Oh, I can imagine we'll still be talking about security. That seems to be inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
We'll still be talking about the fact that we can't manage the growth and the scale of demand. That's always an issue. And, you know, those two things just seem to be perennial to and have always been around and always been a problem.
Chris, if folks want to follow up with you later after the interview, with questions or contact, where can they find you?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter, quite easy, at Chris M. Evans.
Mm-hmm.
They can also find me on Facebook. There's a Facebook page called The Storage Architect, which you can follow. Or you can sign up to my blog, which is thestoragearchitect.com.
Well, thank you so much for making time for us. I know that this is a busy week at the Intel Developer Forum.
No.
Hope you enjoy the rest of the week, and hope the audience enjoyed our conversation about storage.
Thank you.